Okay, we're going to begin here at the top of Ner Chedem and Aleph by the two dots. Yesterday, we left off with the two statements of Shmuel. One statement that our Mishnah is talking about, Kabbalah of the Abdo Tznan, is talking about the insignia of the slave by the Kabbalah in the Mishnah, which says that one may not go out to Rashut HaRabim with it. And then we had Shmuel's statement, which said that Yotzei Ha'Eved B'Chotem Shibet Tzavaro, V'lo B'Chotem Shibet Ksuto. That he can go out with the one around his neck, but not the one that is on his beged. The Gemara differentiated between Ha David Le Rabbe, Ha David Yehuda Nafshe, depending on whether he made it or his master made it. In the case where he made it, then we worry about him picking up the pieces, we worry about him taking it off, it's breaking, therefore we don't let him go out with it. With his master's insignia, he's scared to do anything with it. So therefore, if he goes out with it around his neck, we don't worry about him taking it off. We don't worry about him carrying it at all. What we do worry about is if it's on his beged. Because then if it breaks off of his beged, in order to hide the fact that it broke, he's going to flip his clothes over his shoulder and he's going to be carrying his clothes because that's not wearing them anymore. That's carrying them because he's going to put it on his shoulder. So now the Gemara wants to investigate further that statement of Shmuel. Kufa. Amar Shmuel, Yotzei Ha'Eved B'Chutam Shebetzavaro, Aval Lo B'Chutam Shebetzuto. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a braita that supports that understanding. Yotzei Ha'Eved B'Chutam Shebetzavaro, Aval Lo B'Chutam Shebetzuto. Viraminu. We have another braita, Tanaic work, which says, Yotzei Ha'Eved B'Chutam Shebetzavaro, Aval Lo B'Chutam Shebetzuto. That he may not go out, not with it on his beged, not with it around his neck, which sounds like our Mishnah. V'zeh v'zeh ein mikablim tuma. And neither of them are mikabel tuma. V'lo bezug shibitzavaro. Can't go out with a bell around his neck. Avo yotzei hu bezug shibikasuto. He can go out with the bell that's hanging off his clothing. V'zeh v'zeh mikablim tuma. Both of them are mikabel tuma. V'lo teitzei be'ema lo b'chotam shibitzavara. V'lo b'chotam shibikasuta. E'be'ema may not go out with a chotam around its neck, nor with a chotam on its beged if it wears something to keep it warm. V'lo bezug shibikasuta. May not go out with a bell that it's on its clothing. V'lo bezug shibitzavara. Not a bell that's around its neck. Zeh v'zeh ein mikablim. Neither of them are mikabel tuma. That's the braita. The Gemara is going to go through and break down each piece of the braita. The question obviously being asked is the stira between the braitot. We have one braita, like Shmuel, it says that an eved can go out with a chutam around his neck, but not with a chutam on his beged. And the braita seems to say, irrespective of where it is, you may not go out with it. So the obvious answer that you would say, had the avid hu, had the avid rabbe. Just like the way we answered the Mishnah before we said, the Mishnah speaking about a case where he made it himself. Shmuel's statement is on a case where it's his master that made it. So you could answer the same way here. You would say, his master made it, then we only worry about it when it's on his beged, not when it's on his neck. The bright that says that you can't wear it in either case, that should just be speaking about a case where he did it himself. So technically, that could have been the answer. But the problem is that the remainder of the braita doesn't allow for that explanation. So Gemara first says, Leima ha David le rabbe ha David yud l'nafshe. Let's explain that the one that says that there's a difference between his neck and his beged, that's his rebbe, but the one that is adon made. The one where it says there's no difference, he can't wear it at all, that he did himself. It says, Lo, idi v'idi David le rabbe. Both of them are made by his master. Kan v'shel matechet, v'kan v'shel tit. The difference is between whether it was made out of metal or whether it's made out of plaster, lime, some sort of material that is not expensive and not valuable.
Yeah, the same logic would apply.
It should apply here.
Like I was saying,
there's a problem in the braita which is not going to allow you to use that answer. That's why. You have to explain it differently. The Rav Nachman Amar Rav Ravua, Dabar Hamakpid Alav Rabo in Yutzimbo. Something that his master wants, he can't go out with. Dabar She'en Makpid Alav Yutzimbo. But something that he's not Makpid on, then he can go out with. We'll explain all of this in a second. Achanami Bistavra. This all makes sense. Miktani, Zeh v'zeh ein mikablim tuma. Because over here in the bright it says they're not mikabel tuma. Iyamart bishlama shel matechet. If you say we're talking about a metallic insignia, hanihu delo mikabli tuma. These insignias are not mikabel tuma. Ha kelim didu mikabli tuma. Otherwise, it would be mikabel tuma if it was a metallic item. Eli iyamart bishel tit. If you're talking about tanan, if you say that the bright is talking about a case of tit, a case that's made out of lime, plaster, where it's not valuable. Hanihu delo mikabli tuma. Ha kelim didu mikabli tuma. What are you going to say? This insignia is not mikabli tuma, but if you made something out of that, it would be mikabli tuma. Vatanya, we have a braita. Klei avanim, klei gilalim, klei adama, klei lim that are made out of stone, that are made out of Gilalim, Rashi over here does give the interpretation. We had this earlier in the Masechet. Over here he says it's Tzvi Bakar. Says it's made out of dung. Back on Ted Vavom and Aleph, Rashi gave an alternative saying that it was made out of marble. And everybody points to the Rashi over here, which is the more common explanation that it's talking about dung and not about marble. The last one is Klei Adama, that's made out of earth, not earthenware like clay, but it's really made out of baked dirt. Ein Mekablim Tuma, they are not Mekablim Tuma, lo midivrei Torah, velo midivrei Sefarim, ela Shma Mina, that our bright over here must be talking about a case of Shematechet Shma Mina. So that is why that part of the bright forces us to say we're talking about a metallic insignia. Once we're talking about a metallic insignia, that changes everything, and we can no longer answer like we did for our Mishnah. For our Mishnah, we had answered that it was his versus his Adon's. When it's his, we don't let him take it out, because he doesn't care about it. He will rip it off, he'll take it off, he'll carry it around, so we don't let him wear it. So why don't we suggest the same here? We can't make that suggestion over here because of this issue of Tuma. Because of this issue of Tuma, we must be talking about a metallic insignia. Now, metallic insignia has an additional aspect to it. Metallic insignia has two problems. One is that when you're wearing it, it could be problematic, and even when you take it off, it's problematic. And that is because while you're wearing it, we're afraid that you would take it off. When broken or it falls off, he is afraid not to bring it back to his master because of the value of the metal that's used. Value of the metal is going to say that the problem here is not simply that he's wearing it, the problem is also when he's not wearing it, he's going to carry it back. So therefore the Gemara went to the answer that it has to be Ha Vaha David Rabbe. Both of them were made by his master. The difference being what the material is that was used when he made it. So now when his master makes it, we're not afraid that he's going to take it off. That we're not afraid of because he's wearing it and he knows that his master's bakpid, so he's not going to take it off. That's true by tit. It's also true by metal. So in both of those scenarios, we don't worry about it. What we do worry about in the case of metal, in addition to the one of tit, is that if it breaks, he's also going to bring it back. And that results in two different scenarios here. In the scenario where it's made out of tit, in that case we say if it's worn around the neck, we're fine. He's not going to take it off because he knows his master wants it. If it breaks, he's also not going to bring it back. It's a useless, it's a material that's not worth anything. He's not going to bring it back. So we're not worried about him carrying it in either scenario. Not when he's wearing it, nor when it falls off. In the case of ksuto, where it's wearing on his beged, then we do worry about it. Even if it's made out of tit, we worry about the fact that if it falls off, he's going to flip the beged up to cover it up. So that we worry about. That's the braita that says, b'tzavaro, okay. B'ksuto, no. The braita that says that no matter what, it's problematic. Whether it's around his neck, whether it's on his beged, it's problematic. That's why I'm at a metallic insignia. In the metallic insignia, when he wears it out around his neck, you're right. He's not going to take it off because his master's makpid. Our fear is when it breaks or it falls off, he's going to pick it up because his master's go, okay, it broke. Where's the metal? I want the item back. It's valuable. It has value to it. And therefore, he's going to carry it to bring it back to his master. So therefore, we say no insignia around the neck. Then, in the clothing, you have the same problem. Clothing is a double problem. The problem is that even if it's on the clothing and it breaks, he's going to flip clothing up. And in addition to that, if it falls off, he's also going to carry it back. And that explains the braita that has both of them being asur, both around his neck, as well as that which is on the beged. In addition to that, we have an additional statement, which is, v'zeh v'zeh ein mekablim tumah. Neither of them are mekabel tumah. As Rashi explains, is because lav linoi avid. These are not jewelry. This is not an adornment or an accessory. This is something that he's being forced to wear by his master. Right. So for him, it's not annoy. For his master, it's valuable. But for the one who's wearing it, doesn't have any additional value. And it's also not a kli tashmish. You have to have one of these things be true in order for the item to be mekabel tuma. It either has to be something that's annoyed, it's worn for an adornment, has some value towards him, or it has to be a kli tashmish, something that's usable, or has utility, which this doesn't have either. So because of that, it's not mekabel tuma, even though it's matechet, even though it's made out of metal. Right, now we're going to move on to the other part of the braita, which is the zug, the bells. Amamar, the lo bezug shibitzavaro. He can't go out with the bell around his neck. Avoyotzeu bezug shibiksuto. But he may go out with a bell that is on his beged. Zug shibitzavaro, amaylo. Why can't he go out with a bell around his neck? Dilma mifsuk, because it might break. Same problem we had with the metal insignia is if you have something of value that you're wearing, if it breaks, you're going to come to carry it. A necklace. The same thing. If you're wearing a necklace and they easily break or they would come off. It's made of something valuable. You're not going to leave it out on the street. The person's going to pick it up, and you're going to have a problem of carrying bishut rabim. So zug v'shibik suto nami lichush demo mifsak v'ati le'tuye. Why is that any different when it's around his neck versus when it's on the beged? Hachamai skinan demecha bei mumcho. Now what did he do? He stitched it into the beged. It's a part and parcel of the beged. When you're talking about it around the neck, it's much more, I would say, precarious. There's a larger or higher probability that it might fall off because you have a thin chain, a thin string that's holding it on. The beged that's on the ksut is stitched in. It's woven into the beged itself. And the likelihood that it will fall off is much lower. Right, but the chotam shebegado, the difference being on how it's attached. The chotam shebegado seems to be something that they were moved from beged to beged, or something that was stitched on loosely. Here they're using the term mecha, which is a woven on, that it seems to be, it's made as a part of the beged. A structural part of the beged now, not something that's added on additionally afterwards, as separate. I think that's how you have to distinguish between those two. If the Ravuna Breda Rav Yeshua, and like we have Ravuna Breda Rav Yeshua, the Amar Ravuna Breda Rav Yeshua, Koshu Arug, Lo Gaz Rubo. That anything that's Arug, there is no Gzerah. Now, truthfully, the Arug, the statement of Ravuna we saw yesterday, is about Chatzitza. It's that whenever something's Arug, you can't tie it tight enough that it will create a Chatzitza for the air. But the Gemara is obviously applying it here as well. It means that if it's attached well, we're not worried about it breaking off. We're also not worried about it being a Chatzitza. It has both properties. Because if we were afraid of it loosening or letting go, then even if it wasn't a chatzitza, you'd still have a problem of it falling out of the hair. The fact is that we think it has both properties. It has the property or strong enough property to attach it where we're not afraid it's going to come out. But we also has a property where it can't tie tight enough. It can't create a bind that won't allow the water to enter. So it has both properties. It's not a chatzitza, but it's also strong enough to hold it on. So over here, the bell that is attached to its ksut, that is considered to be attached, fully attached, strongly attached, and it's not going to fall off. We don't worry about you going on to Rishut HaRabim with that. The one around your neck, that we're worried about, because we're worried about it coming apart. Something snapping. That happens all the time with necklaces, things that are around the neck. They easily break the thinner chains. If it breaks, then you're going to carry it, Rishut HaRabim, so we're worried about you wearing that. Now in this instance, both of them are Mekabel Tuma, because over here we're talking about metal, and number two is, it's a Tachshit. Over here we don't have a question, here it's Lenoi, here it's an accessory, here it's an adornment. So that's why it's Vzeh Vzeh Mekablim Tuma. Next, we're going to move on now to the Behema. Amar Mar, Lo Teitze Behema Lo Bechutam Shebetzavara, Velo Bechutam Shebeksuta. Let's understand each of them. The Gemara says, "Zug de behema, ein mekablim tuma." When it comes to the bell that is on the animal, they're not mekabel tuma. Viraminu, is that really true? Zug shel behema tmea, a bell that is around the animal is tmea. Bishel delit tehora, the one that's on the door is tehora. I'll move on a second in the braita. But what you have here is a question on the position that the bell that the animal wears is not mekabel tuma. Over here we see that the bright explicitly says that the bell around the animal is tmeya. Now in terms of the chotam that the behema wears, the reason that it's a problem for behema goes back to partly what we said in the last parak. But over here the chotam is the equivalent to the string that was around the leg of the chickens. They were used as identity tags. And for identity tags, that's not something that is utility-wise useful to the behema. The behema gets nothing out of it. It's not something that the behema needs, and therefore it's considered to be a masui for the behema. A masui for the behema is not allowed on Shabbat. The bells, now the bells you might consider to be a tachshit, but for animals, tachshit is not a dispensation to wear it on Shabbat. If it's a tachshit, it's still a masui for the behema. The behema is only when it's for the behema's sake, or it's to control the behema. Those are allowed, but anything that is a tachshit, that's simply decorative in nature, that the behema may not wear. So here the zug, if it's, again, decorative in nature, then it's not going to help you over here in terms of masui. Remember that the other issue with the bell is, that might be b'chatzer, you'd be allowed to wear it, because there's no problem of masui. The problem of going out to Rishut HaRabim is the fact that you think it looks like you're going to the chinga, it looks like you're going to the shuk. Therefore, you can't wear it, even when the bell is plugged. We don't allow you to go out with these items. Right, so that's just the background to why these are problematic for the behema. The Braita now is addressing this one issue of Tuma, which said that the bell around the animal is not Tmea, and then we have a Braita that says it is Tmea. Now we compared it to a Delet, the bell that is affixed to a door. The bell that is affixed to the door is Teora. Because a house is considered to be mechubar the karka, it's connected to the ground. The door is attached to the house, which is also mechubar the karka, and the bell is attached to the door. So it's considered to be a part of the house, part of something that's mechubar the karka. It cannot be mekabel tuma. Something to be mekabel tuma has to be a kli, something that's not affixed to the ground. This is considered to be affixed to the ground. Sheldelet vasol de beima tmeya. If it was on the door originally, and now he changes his mind and he wants to use it for the animal, then it's tmeya. Shel beima vasol delet. It was on the animal, and then he decides to change its utility to use it on the door. Alpha pi shechibro le delet. Even if you attach it to the door, because over masmirim and nailed it in, tamei, it remains tamei. Because of this principle, and once we have the principle, we'll go back and explain the bright. Shekol hakelim yordim lidei tumatan b'machshava, vein olim lidei tumatan el b'shinu ma'aseh. Kelim can enter the world of tumah simply through a thought. They cannot exit the world of tumah unless there's an action taken to them. Now this has two implications. It has implications for an item like li, that's yet to be mekabel tuma. Even though it has yet to be mekabel tuma, what you think about this item can allow it to become tamei. It can give it accessibility to becoming tamei. If you decide to use the item, like in this case, for the behema, once you've decided to use it for behema, now it can be mekabel tuma, because the bell of the behema is mekabel tuma. So as soon as you think that way, it can be mekabel tuma. On the other hand, if it was used for the behema, and now you want to change it to use it for the delet, even though it's not tamei yet, you cannot remove its ability to be mekabel tuma unless you do what's called shinui maaseh. You take an action on the bell and change the bell. Simply fixing the bell to the door is not a change in the bell. The bell remains the exact same thing. You've just affixed it to the door now. So in order to change it, you have to do something actively in the bell itself to change it. So that's in terms of maaseh. That's when it's not tameh. That's for whether to be mekabel tuma. The other side of this is when something is tameh already. If it's tameh already, and it was around the neck of the behemah, you say, you know what, I'm going to put it onto the door, and then it'll be tahor because I've changed its utility now. That doesn't work. That comes to your question, David, which is, how do I take the tuma out? There, it's not simply enough to do a maaseh to the bell. I have to actually ruin its function, its current function, in order to take away the tumah. This statement that we have here by Machshava and by Maaseh has a impact both in terms of being able to be mekabel tumah as well as removing tumah. The way that Mishnah says it is shel delet vasol be'ema. If it was on the door and he makes it for the be'ema, tmeya doesn't mean that it was tumah. It could have been tumah when it was on the delet. It now is accessible to accept tumah, even though you did nothing. All you did was take it off the door and hang it on the be'ema. So even so, that's enough. That machshava, or thinking about putting on the behema, is enough. Shel behema, vasol the delet, if it was on the behema, now you put it on the door, afo pi shechibro the delet, even now you've fixed it to the door, v'obma esmer tamei. Tamei means, if it was tamei before, it remains tamei. And if it was not tamei, it still is mikabel tuma. You've done nothing to remove the shame kli from it. So Mar says, lokasho, what's the difference between our braita that says that it's not mikabel tuma, and the bright over here that says that it is mikabel tuma? Simple answer. Hadit le inbal, hadalit le inbal. It's a difference between whether it has a clapper inside or not. If it has the clapper inside, then it is mikabel tuma. If it doesn't have an inbal inside, it's not mikabel tuma. Mar says, manav shach. Please explain this to me. Imanohu. If it's a kli, afo pi delit le inbal. Whether the clapper's in or not, it's still a kli. Ilam manohu. If it's not a kli, inbal mishavi le mono? The clapper makes it into a kli? What is it about the clapper that changes the status of the bell itself? If the bell's a kli, it's a kli, whether or not there's any clapper in it.
Why?
If it's not a kli, then what does the clapper do to make it into a kli?
Because the clapper makes it into a bell.
Right, meaning that if you hang it on the beget, like the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol on his beget had bells and rimonim. The question where the rimonim, many think the rimonim were between the bells, not inside the bells. So you can have a bell that functions from the outside. It doesn't have to have a clapper inside to be functional. So if you think it's for certain things, it can be functional whether it has the clapper on the inside or whether you bang it on the outside or whether it hangs or it's decorative. If you really think it's a kli, it should be a kli irrespective. If it's not a kli, it should be irrespective of the imbal. The answer is that we're talking about function and function where the clapper makes the difference here. In exactly what you said, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, I'm Rabbi Yonatan, I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, I'm Rabbi Yonatan, minayin lamashmi'a kol b'kli matechot shehu tameh. How do I know that if you make it into something that produces sound, is musical, it's an instrument basically, how do I know that that's sufficient to change the object from not being a kli into a kli? Shenamar, because it says by kli midyan, now, if you want to talk about out of context, this is completely out of context for two reasons. Number one is, by Klei Midyan, we have a problem. They went to battle with Midyan, And after they defeated Minyan, they came back with the spoils. The spoils are problematic for two reasons. One reason is that they're treif. They're not kosher. They were used for non-kosher items. So you have to kosher them, number one. Number two is that they require a mikveh. They require to be put in the mikveh. So over here, what the pasuk is speaking about is simply koshering the item. It says, this item was used with tarfut. How do I get it to be kosher now? No problem. If it was in the fire, if it was used in the fire, you bring it through the fire to kosher it. It's got what the din of what we call hagala. It's a din of koshering. It has nothing to do with tuma and tahara. It's not how to make the kli tahor. This is how to make the kli a kosher kli, not a tahor kli. Number one. Number two is, the pashtura pasuk is davar. Kol davar is yavobesh. Any object, any kli, that's used in the fire, in order to kosher it, you put it in the fire. The Gemara takes both of those out of context. Number one, it says, kol davar means dibur. Any speak, any sound. Anything that makes a sound is a kli. Now that second statement is also not necessarily true, because, again, tavir be'esh is about hagala, not to do with tuma and tara. Tosafot says, im eno l'inyan lehagala, tneo l'inyan tuma. Obviously, sound makes no difference when it regards to Haggalah. It has to do with utilization, what you used it for with Tarfut and whether you didn't. Sound is not relevant by Haggalah. So since it's not relevant by Haggalah, we flip it over to Tuma and Tahara. But we're also taking the word Davar out of context and saying that it's Dibur, not Davar. So you're aware it's definitely a Drasha, even in context, even with the Drasha, it's a difficult Drasha. So Afilu Dibur, Yavo Beish. Even something that simply makes sound will go into the fire. There are two stages to it. One is that you say the word davar means dibur, that it makes noise, and therefore there's relevance to something making noise. By hagala, there's certainly no relevance to that, and that's what Tosfot says. Imeinu l'inyan hagala, tneyu l'inyan tuma v'tara l'inyan kli. It is libun. There are dine hagala, which include libun with it. Vamai ukimto. So now you set up our braita being the one that said that if you put it on the behemah, it's a masui on Shabbat, but it's not mikabel tuma. You set up the leinbo. There is no clapper in it. So ema mitziyata. Wait a minute. But now explain to me the remainder of that braita. Ema mitziyata lo bezuk shebetzavro. Not allowed to go out with it around your neck, but you go out with it on your beged. V'ze mikabelin tuma. And they are mikabel tuma. Either leinbo mi mikabel tuma. You have it on both sides. The first part of the braita was talking about a person. The second half of the braita is talking about a behemah. If you're going to be consistent now and say that the bell in the braita is talking about one without a clapper in it, then why is there a difference in the din between Adam and Behema? Why is one mekabel tuma and one is not mekabel tuma? V'raminu, Hose zagim l'mateshet u'l'arisa u'l'mat pechot, sfarim u'l'mit pechot tinakot, yesh lahen inbal tmeim, en lahen inbal teorim. So they already jumped the gun. And they said, oh, what are you going to suggest now? That it's a plea even without a clapper on it? That doesn't work, because we have a Tosefta in Kelim that says explicitly, person who makes a bell, l'machteshet. Machteshet is interesting for those who say the Pitom Aktoret in Karbonot every morning. Over there it says that a kol yafeh, that sound or music or noise is good for the making of the Ktoret. So this bell is specifically made for the making of the Ktoret, to make sound for the Ktoret. La'arisa, this is interesting, this is the equivalent of a mobile. Right, it's made to put up above the cradle, above the bed of the child. Ulamat pechot sfarim. You do see this sometimes. We have them on the Sefer Torah now. People put them on the Sefer Torah. But they had them on the books themselves. When they were going to the Beit Midrash, or they're going to the Cheder, and they want all the kids to know that it's time to come to the Cheder, they used to carry the books and the bells would be ringing, and everybody know that's time to go to Cheder. Right, the original school bell. Ulamat pechot tinokot. And for the children, they put around their neck. It's in the know where they are to give them baby shoes, used to have bells, right? Right, so the baby shoes have the bells on them, so that these items. Now, all of these items, if the clapper's in them, they're mekabel tuma, because then they function. They make the sound, they make the music, they're made for this item. If they don't have a clapper in them, they're not mekabel tuma. It shows you explicitly that clapper makes the difference in these situations. And so now, if you have a bell without a clapper in it, how come when he wears it, it's going to be mekabel tuma? Even when you take the clapper out, the bell retains its status. And that's what you were asking before. When you take the clapper out, is that sufficient to masa? The answer is no. Alright, we'll get there. The end of the Rashi. If the clapper's taken out after a bang, I die into matan aliyam. To love a kli shinish bar. It's not the equivalent of a kli that broke. But tell me to a kli that air me to mato. It's not considered a broken kli. There are two parts to a kli. You removed one part, that doesn't change the fact that it's still a kli. Once it's gotten a shame kli, the only way to remove a shame kli is to ruin the kli. To take the clapper out may make it not functional, but it doesn't ruin the kli, it doesn't ruin the bell itself. That's not enough to remove the tumah. Rashi says, we have an answer for you. Hani mile bitinok. That's only true with a bell that is made for a child. Tilakala avidile. The only reason you make a bell for a child is because you want the sound. Aval gadol tachshitule vavagavdeleinba. It makes a difference between whether it's made for a child or for an adult. By an adult that wears a bell, it doesn't necessarily have to ring. The bell can be an adornment, an accessory, even without a clapper inside of it. By the child, it's specifically made to make the sound. Without the sound, that's not what you want by the child. The bell is not an adornment for the child. It's functional by the child. Therefore, the clapper in, yes, mekabel tumah, clapper out, not mekabel tumah. By an adult, when it's made as an adornment, we don't necessarily have to have the clapper on the inside. Again, the example of the beged of the Kohen Gadol, which has the bells at the bottom of it, the me'il, has bells hanging on the bottom, but they don't have clappers on the inside necessarily. They might be on the outside. If there, it still might be considered to be a tachshit, part of the beged, even though it's missing the clapper. So now we've come down to three different definitions of bells. We have a bell that has a clapper in it. A bell that has a clapper in it is minkabel tumah. That's the explanation of the braita that we brought in distinction with the door. Then we had our braita, which says that for a person it's minkabel tumah. For a behema, it's not minkabel tumah. And we explained that that was because it didn't have a clapper inside of it. Well, then how do you explain by the Adam that it's mekabel tumah? So what do you want to suggest? Well, without a clapper, it's still mekabel tumah. We say we have another braita that says it is mekabel tumah only when it has a clapper, not when it doesn't have a clapper in it. Humans have the same din as behemot. The Gemara then bifurcated within humans and said, adults have a different din than children. By children, the clapper makes a difference just like behemah. By behemah, when the clapper's in, it's mekabel tumah. When it's out, it's not mekabel tumah. The same is true by a tinok. But by adults, even with the clapper out, it's mekabel tumah because it has utility. It's a tachshit, even without the clapper in it. So Amar Amar, nitnu in vilein adayin tumatan aleim. When you remove the inbal, l'may chazu. So that's your question. So, okay, I took the clapper out. Why is it considered a kli still? Why is it still functional? So Amar Abaye holds, shehejol yachol lechach zero. So Abaye has an interesting approach to this, which is, it can be replaced easily. The fact is that separating out the inbal is not something that takes any craftsmanship, that takes any real effort. You can simply stick it in and take it out. So because of that, the function of the bell is not really ruined, because I can just as easily put it back in, the clapper back in. And when I put it back in, it's done, it's a bell again. Abaye's position is, if it's something that easily is put back together, then that's considered to be not ruined. It's still functional because the function can be returned to it very easily. Rava challenges that and says, Meitiv Rava, Hazug Veinbal Chibur. A bell and the clapper are considered to be a single item. Rashi claims, well, what does that mean if they're considered to be a single item? That means Kashen Yachad. That's when they're together, Harehen Kli Yachad. They are one kli. That means if one of them became tamei, the other one becomes tamei. There is no separation. They looked as a single unit. Shema mina, what's the conclusion from that? Rashi says, dechinit pardu. If you separate them, they are not considered to be a single kli anymore. Chibur, the kli means when they're attached, they're a chibur. When they're not attached, they're not a chibur. That's the way Rashi reads this point. Whereas Tosafot says, ufarish rab porat, b'shem rabbi Shmuel. Since a joke put it back together, it's considered if they're attached. As if they're still attached, which is amazing. Rashi before suggested that when Abaye made his comment about them being separate, since it could be put back together again easily, that they're considered to be still a kli. But he didn't go as far as to say that, okay, then if one becomes tamei, the other one becomes tamei. It just means that each one independently can still make mikabel tumah. If you put them back together, then they would spread that tumah to each other. Then the question from the braita is, well, they're considered to be a chibur because they're together. That means if they're separate, they're no longer considered to be a single item. They're not considered functional anymore. The way the Rabbeinu Parat, B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel, is saying is that even when they're separated, according to Abaye, since they're easily put back together, they're still considered to be one kli. And if the clapper became tamei, the bell would also be tamei, even though they're separate right now, even though they're not attached. When they are reattached together, since the hedjok can easily put them back together, if one comes tamei, and then you mechaber them, you put them back together, they are as if you touch the whole item itself. It's as if it's all tamei. It's not a passage of tumah from one kli to another kli. It's a single entity with tumah now. Then you bring the braita, which says that they only are mekabel tumah, b'chibur, when they are joined together, when they're together. So the question of the Braita depends on what you think Abaye's statement was before. Rashi thinks Abaye's statement is, since it's easily put back together, it retains a shame kli. Doesn't mean that they're a single unit. It retains a shame kli. Then if it becomes tamei, that's enough because it could be put back together. Therefore, the Braita is a question because the Braita in the question says that they're a chibur when they're together, meaning that when they're apart, they have no function. They are not a kli anymore. Whereas, according to the Rabbeinu Parak, B'shem Rabbeinu Shmuel, the problem with Abaye's answer is that even when they're separate, they're still mekabel tumah because they can easily be put back together. The brightest question is that it says only when they're a chibur, they mekabel tumah. When they're not together, they're not mekabel tumah. And then the Gemara asks from something we've seen before. Va'atanya, we had a brighta. Misporet shel prakim. When you talk about scissors that are made up of two blades that separate. Vizmel shel rehitne, or a plane that has the blade plus the wooden piece that holds the blade to plane with. Chibur l'tumah. When they're together, they're considered to be a chibur v'tumah, v'en chibur l'hazah. But they're not considered to be one item for hazah, for being tahor, through the sprinkling of the paraduma. Raminan, monavshach. Please explain to me. Ichiburu, if they're one kli, afilu l'hazah. Even for tahara, they should be considered one kli. V'lo chiburu, or li lav chiburu, if they're not considered to be one chibur, afilu l'tumah, namilo. Then it shouldn't be one unit for Tumah. From the Torah, everything is a chibur, ben the Tumah, ben the Hazah, when you're utilizing them. Shelo b'shat melacha, when you're not utilizing them, any chibur, they're not considered attached, lo l'tumah, v'lo l'hazah, for neither of them. V'gazru ala Tumah, shelo b'shat melacha, shum Tumah, she'i b'shat melacha. Again, we saw this earlier in the Gemara. They would go there on the Tumah, shelo b'shat melacha, because if they were shat melacha, they would have considered one unit. So therefore, even shelo b'shat melacha, we consider them to be one unit, to be mekabel Tumah, or machmir, that you're tamei in both cases. V'ala zah, she'i b'shat melacha, mishum azah, shelo b'shat melacha. And we worry about Hazaah, Shalom B'Shat Melacha, where it doesn't work. Therefore, it goes there even when they are together. Where it would have worked, we say it doesn't work. So we go to Chumrah for both sides. Therefore, what you see from here is, even when they're attached, even when the blades of the scissor are attached, or the blade of the plane is in it, they're still not considered to be Chibur Shalom B'Shat Melacha. How could you then suggest, when they're separated, that they're still considered to be one unit? Again, according to Rashi, that means, how could they still retain a shem kli? According to the Rabbeinu Parag, Shem Rishmul, is how could you have them be mekabel tumah that way? They're not even mekabel tumah when they're attached. How could you have them be mekabel tumah when they're detached? Elo Omar Rova, Rova comes up with an alternative explanation. Ho veharaoi lahakisho agave cheres. There's an alternative. You don't need the, right. Well, you don't need the clapper either way. You don't need the clapper because, either way, you could use the clapper to bang on something else. Tosafot does note here that he thinks that the clapper does not retain its shame tumah, and this Gemara, this statement of Rav, is only about the bell, not about the clapper itself. Or, you could have something else to bang on the bell. The bell can make a sound without the clapper inside of it. The clapper makes it easier to make the noise. It might make a specific type of noise, but that doesn't mean that the bell can't function as an instrument. You can do that. They have, sometimes in the orchestra, they have someone who holds a bell and they bang it from the outside. You do have such a concept. So then that will remain or retain its functionality even after the clapper is taken out of it. And that will explain why, in the case of the child's bell, once you brought it to the point where you put the inbal in it, and then you remove it, it doesn't change it. Now, what's important here is if you never put the clapper in it, it won't be mekabel tumah. Because you have in mind to use it for music and for a child with the clapper in it. Since you haven't brought it to the Gemara Melacha, it's not a kli then. So prior to that point, it won't be a kli. On the other hand, if you already put it in and made it into a kli, to remove the shame kli, simply removing the clapper is not enough. Because it's still a kli, it's still functional, and therefore it's not considered to be the ma'aseh to remove the shame kli. Itmar Nami, we have number of Yosef Rabbi Chinam, over Oyla HaKisho Agabi Cheres. We have the same Amoraic statement that the reason that it retains the shame kli is because it's Ra'oyla HaKisho Agabi Cheres. And then we have Rabbi Yochanan Amar, another option, Hol V'Ra'oyla Gamea Bo Mayim Letinok, something that we saw earlier, that you can now use it, like the shofar, you can use it to give water, a drink, to the baby. No, the clapper's gone, it's out. We're going to stop here, but the Gemara now will go into and ask, is that really work? Because there is a machloket about when you say that I have changed the function of the item, is that enough to retain tumah? When I say something's a kli, and I want to remove the shame kli, if I change its function, is that still considered to be the original kli? Over here, the bell was originally made for noise. Now I'm changing it to a cup for a drink. Is that enough to retain shame tumah or not? That's a machloket, and that's what the Gemara is going to challenge Rabbi Yochanan's position. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that we're still functional over here? So Rashi, over here actually, he says, V'hashvi tarzu kulu. Rashi brings a summary of the Gemara. He says, now we've answered all our questions. To behema Torah, why by the animals it Torah? Because below Inbal, it doesn't have a clapper in it. Since it doesn't have a clapper in it, it's Torah. Talav monohu. It's not a clay. Ubi Inbal, if it had a clapper in it, tamei. Kuriptima be bachraita. Dinbal mishavila mono. That's why, that's what turns it into a kli, is when you put the inbal in it. And that's the other braita by the delet. That's why it is a kli over there, mikabel tuma. Uda adam gadol. If it's got to do with a person who is older, aplo inbal tamei. Then even without a clapper in it's tamei, dulutachshitu. It's made as a decorative item. Velo by inbal. Vanu tukani be kamaita. That's why the first half of the braita that we started with today says the mikabelim tuma. Ukanim. What about the children's bell? Delikala avid, since it's made for sound, kubulehu delo kabil below inbal. It will not be mikabel tuma until the clapper is put into it. So inlam inbal torim. There's no clapper in there at all. B'shelo hayalo inbal meola. That's only if it never had a clapper in there. Delo nigmar melachtan. As I explained before, that's not the, you haven't brought the clean to the function that you want. But, not lo inbalain. Wait, if you take out the inbal, ben lefei tuma, ben lachar tuma, whether it already became tamei or did not become tamei, then they still are a kli. So they could be mikabel tuma, or if they are tamei, they will not lose their tuma, because it still retains its status as a kli. According to Rava, because you can bang it from the outside. According to Rabbi Yochanan, because you can use it, legameya, to the tinok. Alright, we'll stop over here.